Hello, listeners. Into today's story, we, Time of Hope Radio, invite you to follow along as we continue with Fatima and Lucia's own words, Sister Lucia's memoirs, translated by Dominican nuns of Perpetual Rosary, are done by readers Maikan,
Gwen Mai,
Gwen Yu,
Hilvu,
David Nguyen,
and Phila.
Of the memoir.
In the introduction to each memoir, we develop in detail the central theme is which she refers. However, we think it important to note here that one of chief purposes of Fatima and Lucia's own words is to make the lives of Blessed Francisco and Jacinta better known and show up their virtues for an imitation. There is no doubt that from the outset of the natural frankness and friendliness of the little brother and sister attract us. And because we are the opinion of that this may be the first step towards gaining greater affection and to the point of wanting to imitate them, we are going to record this the very first historic description which we believe exists of them. We refer to the famous letter of Dr. Carlos de Azevedo Mendez to his fiancée, in which he gives his impressions a visit to Aljustrel in Cova de Iria on 7th September 1917. He describes Jacinta and how she impressed him.
Jacinta, little and very shy, gradually came up close to me. I sat her on the top of a chest and myself nearby. I then observed her very closely. I assure you, she is an angel. A red foliage scarf, with the ends tied back, covered her head. It was old and torn. She wore a little coat, which did not exactly excel in cleanliness, and a reddish skirt of enormous width as used in this region. That was how our angel was dressed. I like to describe her face, but I feel I shall only be able to give a very rough idea. The headscarf that she wore accentuated her features. She has lively, attractive black eyes, an angelical expression, and captivating kindness. The whole makeup is remarkable, and I cannot quite lay my fingers on what it is that draws us. She is very bashful, and we have difficulties in hearing the little she said in reply to my questions. After having spent some time talking and playing with her, Francisco arrived. Jacinta started to gain confidence. A little while after Lucia appeared, you can't imagine Jacinta's pleasure at seeing her. She was all smiles and ran to her and never left her side. It was a wonderful scene.
The shorter evidence of Canon Formigao tallies perfectly with that above.
She is called Jacinta de Jesus and is 7 years old, tall for her age, slightly slender, but nevertheless, one would not call her thin. Well-proportioned features, brownish complexion, modestly dressed, her skirt right down to her ankles. Her appearance is of a healthy child, perfectly normal both physically and morally. Surprised by the presence of strangers who accompanied me, and whom she was not expecting to find, she was at first greatly embarrassed, replying in monosyllables, and in a tone of voice which was almost inaudible to questions which I put to her.
Dr. Carlos Mendez says little of Francisco. Nevertheless, the portrait given is complete and expressive.
Francisco arrived, a stocking cap well pulled down and a very short jacket, his shirt peeping under his waistcoat, tight trousers, and in fact, quite a little man, a handsome boy. Bright look and mischievous face. He replies to my questions in a straightforward manner.
20 days later, on the 27th of September, Canon Fermi Gao also went to interview the children at El Gestrel. He first interviewed Francisco. For the moment, the context of his replies is irrelevant, but the following impressions of the learned and pious priest are of interest.
A 9-year-old boy entered the room we were in, without hesitation, keeping his cap on, doubtlessly because he did not remember that he ought to take it off. I invited him to sit down beside me. He obeyed immediately and showed no reluctance.
These two extracts from true and original documents show us that Francisco before and during the time of the apparitions of Our Lady was a gay, lively and straightforward shepherd boy, a perfect Serrano, mountain lad, without any problems, moral defects, or complexes of any kind.
First memoir, introduction.
This is certainly not the first manuscript we have from Sister Lucia's pen, but it is the first long document that she wrote. Previously, we have had letters, many letters in fact, interrogations, reports, and so on. But now we have a long, important document before us. If Lucia had not written it of her own accord, how then has it been accomplished? On 12 September, 1935, the mortal remains of Jacinta were taken from Villa Nova de Orrium to the cemetery of Fatima. On this occasion, various photographs were taken of the body, one of which was sent by the bishop to Sister Lucia, who was at the time in the convent of Puente Verde. On 17 November, 1935, Lucia, writing an acknowledgement, said among other things,
"Thank you very much for the photographs. I can never express how much I value them, especially those of Jacinta. I felt like removing the wrappings in order to see all of her. I was so enraptured. My joy at seeing the closest friend of my childhood again was so great. I cherish the hope that the Lord, for the glory of the Most Blessed Virgin, may grant her the aureola of holiness. She was a child only in years. As to the rest, she already knew how to be virtuous and to show God and the Most Holy Virgin her love through sacrifice."
These very vivid recollections of her small cousin Jacinta caused the bishop to request Lucia to write down everything she could still remember about her. The manuscript, which she began during the second week of December, was actually completed on Christmas Day, 1935, that is, in less than a fortnight. This manuscript, which Lucia composed, forms a perfect whole. It presents a picture of Jacinta, whose soul is illuminated through and through by the very light of Fatima, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The main purpose of this manuscript is to give us a picture of Jacinta as it is reflected in Lucia's reminiscences. Consequently, she did not intend to write a story of the apparitions for us. This form, as it were, a frame from which the picture of Jacinta shines forth. The language throughout is simple and even, one might say, childlike at times, whenever the context calls for it. Lucia never lost her flair for realism, whatever the events she was describing.
Prologue. 1. Prayer and obedience.
Jesus, Mary, Joseph. Your Excellency, having implored the protection of the most holy hearts of Jesus and of Mary, our tender mother, and sought light and grace at the foot of the tabernacle, so as to write nothing that would not be solely and exclusively for the glory of Jesus and the most blessed Virgin, I now take up this work, in spite of the repugnance I feel, since I can say almost nothing about Jacinta, without speaking either directly or indirectly about my miserable self. I obey, nevertheless, the will of your Excellency, which, for me, is the expression of the will of our good God. I begin this task, then, asking the most holy hearts of Jesus and Mary to deign to bless it, and to make use of this act of obedience to obtain the conversion of poor sinners, for whom Jacinta so generously sacrificed herself. I know your Excellency does not expect a well-written account from me, for you know how incapable and inadequate I am. I am going to tell you then what I can remember about this soul, for by God's grace I was her most intimate confidant. I had such a high regard for her holiness that I greatly esteem and respect her and dearly cherish her memory.
Keeping secrets.
In spite of my goodwill to be obedient, I trust your Excellency will permit me to withhold certain matters concerning myself as well as Jacinta, that I would not wish to be read before I enter eternity. You will not find it strange that I should reserve for eternity certain secrets and other matters. After all, is it not the Blessed Virgin herself who sets me the example? Does not the Holy Gospel tell us that Mary kept all things in her heart? And who better than this Immaculate Heart could have revealed to us the secrets of divine mercy? Nevertheless, she kept them to herself as in a garden enclosed, and took them with her to the palace of the divine King. I remember, besides, a saying that I heard from a holy priest when I was only 11 years old. Like so many others, he came to question me and asked, among other things, about a matter of which I did not wish to speak. After he had exhausted his whole repertoire of questions, without succeeding in obtaining a satisfactory answer on this subject, realizing perhaps that he was touching on too delicate a matter, the good priest gave me his blessing and said, "You are right, my child. The secret of the King's daughter should remain hidden in the depths of her heart." At the time, I did not understand the meaning of what he said, but I realized that he approved of my manner of acting. I did not forget his words, however, and I understand them now. This saintly priest was at that time vicar of Torres Novas. Little does he know all the good that these few words did for my soul, and that is why I remember him with such gratitude.
One day, however, I sought the advice of a holy priest regarding my reserve in such matters, because I did not know how to answer when they asked me if the Most Blessed Virgin had not told me anything else as well. This priest, who was then vicar of Orval, said to us,
"You do well, my little ones, to keep the secret of your souls between God and yourself. When they put that question to you, just answer, 'Yes, she did say more, but it's a secret.' If they question you further on this subject, think of the secret that this lady made known to you, and say, 'Our lady told us not to say anything to anybody. For this reason, we are saying nothing.' In this way, you can keep your secret under cover of all ladies."
How well I understood the explanation and guidance of this venerable old priest. I was already taking too much time with these preliminaries, and Your Excellency will be wondering what is the purpose of it all. I must see if I can make a start with my account of what I can remember of Jacinta's life. As I have no free time at my disposal, I must make the most of the hours when we work in silence to recall and jot down, with the aid of paper and pencil, which I keep hidden underneath my sewing, all that the most holy hearts of Jesus and Mary wants me to remember.
Swift through the world, you went a-flying. Dearest Jacinta, in deepest suffering, Jesus loving, forget not my plea and prayer to you, be ever my friend before the throne of the Virgin Mary. Lily of Candor, shining pearl, up there in heaven you live in glory. Seraphim of love, with your little brother at the Master's feet, pray for me.
Chapter 1. Jacinta's character. 1. Her natural characteristics.
Your Excellency, before the happenings of 1917, apart from the ties of relationship that united us, no other particular affection led me to prefer the companionship of Jacinta and Francisco to that of any other child. On the contrary, I sometimes found Jacinta's company quite disagreeable on the account of her oversensitive temperament. The slightest quarrel which rose among the children when at play was enough to send her pouting into a corner, tethering the donkey, as we used to say. Even the coaxing and caressing that children know so well how to give on such occasions were still not enough to bring her back to play. She herself had to be allowed to choose the game, and her partner as well. Her heart, however, was well disposed. God had endowed her with such a sweet and gentle character, which made her at once lovable and attractive. I don't know why, but Jacinta and her brother Francisco had a special liking for me, and almost always came in search of me when they wanted to play. They did not enjoy the company of the other children, and they used to ask me to go with them to the well down at the bottom of the garden belonging to my parents.
Once we arrived there, Jacinta chose which games we were to play. The ones she liked best were usually pebbles and buttons, which we played as we sat on the stone slabs covering the well, in the shade of an olive tree and two plum trees. Playing buttons often left me in great distress, because when they called us in to meals, I used to find myself minus my buttons. More often than not, Jacinta had won them all, and this was enough to make my mother scold me. I had to sew them on again in a hurry, but how could I persuade Jacinta to give them back to me, since besides her pouty ways, she had another little defect. She was possessive. She wanted to keep all the buttons for the next game, so as to avoid taking off her own. It was only by threatening never to play with her again that I succeeded in getting them back. Not a few times, I found myself unable to do what my little friend wanted. One of my older sisters was a weaver, and the other a seamstress, and both were at home all day. The neighbors, therefore, used to ask my mother if they could leave their children in my parents' yard while they themselves went out to work in the fields. The children stayed with me and played, while my sisters kept an eye on us. My mother was always willing to do this, although it meant considerable waste of time for my sisters. I was therefore charged with amusing the children and watching to see that they did not fall into the pool in the yard. Three large fig trees sheltered the children from the scorching sun. We used their branches for swings and an old threshing floor for our dining room. On days like these, when Jacinta came with her bird to invite me to go with them to our favorite nook, I used to tell him I could not go because my mother had ordered me to stay where I was. Then, disappointed but resigned, the two little ones joined in our games. At siesta time, my mother used to give her children their catechism lessons, especially when Lent was drawing near, for as she said,
"I don't want to be ashamed of you when the priest questions you on your catechism at Easter time."
All the other children, therefore, were present at our catechism lessons, and Jacinta was there as well.
Her sensitiveness.
One day, one of these children accused another of improper talk. My mother reproved him very severely, pointing out that one does not say such nasty things, because they are sinful and displease the child Jesus, and that those who commit such sins and don't confess them go to hell. Little Jacinta did not forget the lesson. The very next time the children came, she said,
"Will your mother let you go today?"
"No."
"Then I'm going with Francisco over to our yard."
"And why won't you stay here?"
"My mother doesn't want us to stay when those other children are here. She told us to go and play in our own yard. She doesn't want me to learn these nasty things, which are sins and which the child Jesus doesn't like."
Then she whispered in my ear,
"If your mother lets you, will you come to my house?"
"Yes."
"Then go and ask her."
And taking her brother by the hand, she went home. Speaking of Jacinta's favorite games, one of them was forfeits. As for your excellency probably knows, the loser has to do whatever the winner tells him. Jacinta loved to send the loser chasing after butterflies to catch one and bring it to her. At other times, she demanded some flower of her own choosing. One day, we were playing forfeits at my home, and I won, so this time it was I who told her what to do. My brother was sitting at a table, writing. I told her to give him a hug and a kiss, but she protested.
"That? No! Tell me to do some other thing. Why don't you tell me to go and kiss our Lord over there?"
There was a crucifix hanging on the wall.
"All right,"
I answered.
"Get up on a chair. Bring the crucifix over here. Kneel down and give him three hugs and three kisses. One for Francisco, one for me, and the other for yourself."
"To our Lord? Yes. I'll give as many as you like."
And she ran to get the crucifix. She kissed it and hugged it with such devotion that I have never forgotten it. Then looking attentively at the figure of our Lord, she asked,
"Why is our Lord kneeled to a cross like that?"
"Because he died for us."
"Tell me how it happened,"
she said.
Her love for the crucified Savior.
In the evenings, my mother used to tell stories. My father and my older sisters told us fairy stories about magic spells, princesses' robes, and gold and royal doves. Then along came my mother with the stories of the Passion, St. John the Baptist, and so on. That is how I came to know the story of our Lord's Passion. as it was enough for me to have heard a story once, to be able to repeat it in all its details. I began to tell my companions, word for word, what I used to call Our Lord's story. Just then, my sister passed by, and noticed that we had the crucifix in our hands. She took it from us and scolded us, saying that she did not want us to touch such holy things. Jacinta got up and approached my sister, saying,
Maria, don't scold her. I did it, but I won't do it again.
My sister caressed her and told us to go and play outside, because we left nothing in the house in its proper place. Off we went to continue our story down at the well I have already mentioned, as it was hidden behind some chestnut trees and a heap of stones and brambles. We chose this spot some years later for our more intimate talks, our fervent prayers, and to tell you everything, our tears as well. And sometimes very bitter tears they were. We mingled our tears with the waters of the same well from which we drank. Does this not make the well itself an image of Mary, in whose heart we dried our tears and drank of the purest consolation? But let us come back to our story. When the little one heard me telling of the suffering of our Lord, she was moved to tears. From then on, she often asked me to tell it to her all over again. She would weep and grieve, saying,
Our poor dear Lord, I'll never sin again. I don't want our Lord to suffer anymore.
For her delicate sensibility.
Jacinta also loved going out at nightfall to the threshing floor situated close to the house. There she watched the beautiful sunsets and contemplated the starry skies. She was enraptured with the lovely moonlit nights. We vied with each other to see who could count the most stars. We called the stars angels' lamps, the moon Our Lady's lamp, and the sun Our Lord's. This led Jacinta to remark sometimes,
You know, I like Our Lady's lamp better. It doesn't burn us up or blind us the way Our Lord's does.
In fact, the sun can be very strong there on summer days, and Jacinta, a delicate child, suffered greatly from the heat.
Fellow listeners, we will stop here with the story of Fatima and Lucia's own words, Sister Lucia's memoirs. For more information, we would like you to follow us on website www.santmaria.org or www.santmaria.net. You can also email us at santmaria2000@yahoo.com or by phone with Mrs. Kim Ha 714-265-1512. We look forward to the next time we'll meet again.